Well, good evening, good morning. Thank you for tuning in and spending your time with me here. Sitting in for George Norrie, I'm Dave Schrader from Darkness Radio. You can find out more about me and my show by visiting darknessradio.com. We're on Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. to midnight Central, and then offer our shows up in podcast form so you can find more of that as we explore the strange and supernatural world around us on a weekly basis. Based in the Twin Cities on AM 1130, the Twin Cities News Talk Station, we also carry Coast to Coast AM, so you can listen to Darkness Radio from 9 to midnight and listen as George Norrie picks up where we leave off from midnight till 4 a.m. 5 days a week. Again, you can find more information at darknessradio.com. I'll be here again with you tomorrow. We've got another look at the histories and mysteries of the Bible, the Jordan codices. We're going to talk about that tomorrow, a set of 70 lead tablets that could change the world's view of biblical history. How? Tune in tomorrow when Egyptologist David Elkington joins me to talk about that exact topic. Then, later on in the evening, the Ark of the Covenant has been one of the most extraordinarily sought-after artifacts in history. And we're going to talk with historical detective Graham Phillips about the Ark of the Covenant. And he believes that he may have some insights on this amazing piece of history. So we'll talk with him about that tomorrow. Tonight, when we return, we're going to talk about the Shroud of Turin. As many of you have known or followed in the documentaries, a fascinating piece of fabric that was said to have wrapped the body of Jesus after his death. And the strange image that has been left behind, an image that cannot be fully understood or detailed or recreated, and that has stood up through various tests. And some tests have come back saying and dating it in the wrong time eras, but there's interesting answers about that. Our guest, though, has a different perspective on this. He believes that he has found biblical codes throughout the New Testament that talk about the Shroud of Turin. We'll discuss that and more. Stay tuned. J.R. Watts is next, right here on Coast to Coast AM. J.R. Watts joins me for the next 2 hours. We'll open up phone lines next hour if you have questions for our guest. J.R. Watts is a former investigator for the City of New York and State of New York, having worked in various government agencies in his capacity as an investigator for over 2 decades. At times, J.R. worked hand-in-hand with various federal agencies on joint investigations. Watts was also a codebreaker, educated in cryptology and various forms of camouflage techniques, including the camouflaging of secretive data disguised with innocuous texts. He had an eye that was trained to detect what is now commonly referred to as information hiding. J.R. Watts is a member of the Association of Former Intelligence Officers, Pattern Recognition Society, International Association for Cryptologic Research, and the American Cryptogram Association. He's here for the next 2 hours as we discuss the Shroud of Turin and the possible links to the New Testament. Welcome to the show, J.R. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you.
Doing what you did, what drew you to... I understand there are many codes that have been referred to throughout the Bible, but what specifically drew you to looking for codes regarding the Shroud of Turin?
Seemed to be destiny. My search for the codes began a long time ago at the new millennium in the year 2000. I was working as an investigator across the street from the World Trade Center in downtown Manhattan. And that's when I began my search for the codes. Now, in my spare time, I also happened to be a volunteer cable TV producer at a public access TV station in my area, just outside of New York City. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I broadcasted some videotapes, documentaries about Bible prophecy and a phenomenon called Bible Code, which became common knowledge in 1997, and also some documentaries about the Shroud of Turin. One of the programs I produced was a program for Sid Roth. It was called It's Supernatural. So in Staten Island, New York, I aired Sid's TV program once or twice a week, every week. I did that for about 3 or 4 years for Sid. And I happened to get my hands on some Bible code software. Now, this is decryption software. It allows you to decrypt or decode possible hidden codes that might exist in the Old Testament, and particularly in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. And I was just curious to see if I could find some codes about the Shroud, any possible words involving Jesus of Nazareth in connection with the Shroud of Turin. Now, I had a couple of different Bible code software programs. They were from different companies.
And as a cryptologist and able to look at codes, were you surprised by what the findings were? Were they legitimately lining up, or do you think that some of them were really stretching to find the information that supposedly was coded into the different books of the Bible?
Well, pertaining to the Shroud, no. What happened was, at that time...
No, I mean in general. I'm sure you'd tested it on other things, looking at at the codes.
By and large, this is a phenomenon that can be scientifically explained if you look at it from the perspective of being created by God. In other words, how could codes about futuristic events that would take place thousands of years after they were written in the Bible, they occur many, many, many centuries later in detail? How could that be possible? Because the writers of the Old Testament couldn't have known about the future. They wrote what's called a ciphertext in the plain text of their writing. Now, as a cryptologist, codebreaker, the plain text is what you read on the surface of the page in normal reading. If you read the Bible, any given part of the Bible, you're reading it, that's called the plain text. What you may not realize is that there may be a secret subtext of disguised data in the Bible. Now, there's different kinds of codes in the Bible. There are ELS codes. ELS is short for equidistant skip sequence codes. And those are the skipping of letters throughout various passages of the Old Testament. And in the interval skipping of those letters, if you know what to search for, say an assassination should occur, and now it's part of the historical record, you could go put your Bible code software program on your computer and look for details that are now common knowledge. And in most cases, that has turned out to be the case. The Kennedy assassination, both Robert and John Kennedy's assassinations were encoded in the Old Testament. Abraham Lincoln's assassination was encoded in the Old Testament.
What does that mean to you? I mean, when you're looking at codes, and you're somebody who looks at, you know, trying to understand information that's being transferred back and forth nowadays, and ways to crack those codes to protect and serve, and then you start looking at biblical code that starts showing you references to assassinations that would happen thousands of years later. How is that even possible in your world?
Well, it defies the laws of physics that we know of, but understand that there are many laws of science that we're not even aware of, because God has kept certain things from our knowledge. So, I mean, for instance, one of the things he kept from our knowledge for ages was the Bible code, or the Jews refer to it as the Torah code. The Christians call it the Bible code, but it's basically the same thing.
When you say, if I could ask you, JR, when you say that it refers to or references the Kennedy assassination, the Lincoln assassination, now I know that there's been some loosely translated versions of Nostradamus's work and other prophesiers and soothsayers, and sometimes it seems the translation is really loose in its way. How specific is the information in the Bible regarding these things? Is it done in kind of lyrical ways? Is it done mathematically to tell you who and what and where? Can you be specific for me how the Bible tells us about, let's say, the Kennedy assassination specifically?
In one word, informative, very detailed. These codes, when we're talking about a specific event that has happened in the history and the timeline of mankind, whether it's assassination or the Titanic sinking or 9/11, which, by the way, was encoded in stark detail in the Old Testament. We're talking about multiple codes found in close proximity to one another, involving names of participants or victims,
okay,
or names of assassins. We're talking about locations like Dallas, Texas, or New York, Manhattan, Twin Towers. We're talking specific, detailed information that cannot be coincidental. It's as an investigator, I'm trained to look for evidence, and the way we find evidence is to search for clues and hints and filter out the half-truths from the truth, and to avoid the misconception that sometimes gets in the way of an investigator's course of duty. I hate to tell you how many times people lie to me on a daily basis because one reason or another they're afraid to divulge the truth or all the truth, and you end up having to write down lies when you're hoping to get the truth,
right.
And then later on, if you're lucky, you might find out that you were being lied to. But the Bible code is a phenomenon that cannot be explained away by debunkers simply because they don't believe in God or because they're atheists, which they have attempted to do, especially from the university level, from college professors who sneer or smirk at the suggestion that of the existence of God. And so they can't see beyond the tip of their nose. They don't have the faith or the imagination to believe in a creator of the cosmos.
Well, JR, let me ask you this. When you're cracking a code in Bible code or Torah code, what version do you use? Because there are many different versions and many different interpretations of the Bible. Are we going back to the oldest known versions to see what they say?
Well, where the Old Testament's concerned, you stick with the Hebrew Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Because the Jewish people have not changed their Old Testament, particularly the Torah, the first five books of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Letter for letter, the Old Testament has remained the same pretty much without any translations that involve the deletion, omission, or addition of different words. So
How is it possible then to tell a cohesive story as the Bible does? Something that doesn't it doesn't ramble, it doesn't stray and suddenly have strange kind of subtext. How do you write a book that tells us a direct story yet still tells other stories within the stories and have it match up? I mean, that just seems like mathematically impossible.
I think I have an answer for you. Let me say this.
Okay.
I've often read the Bible,
mm-hmm.
and there are many times when I lost my train of thought. A lot of people seem to have attention deficit disorder when they read the Bible, and this is because there are secret codes in the Bible that get in the way. It's like signal jamming. They get in the way of the flow of the narrative of the biblical stories. Now, this is not in every page of the Bible, not in every story of the Bible, but wherever there are codes, whether they're ELS codes, and this, by the way, there are different kinds of codes in the Bible. There's also another branch of codes that is called steganography, and steganography is Greek, and that means covered writing or veiled writing, camouflaged writing, in a sense. It's almost like it's almost akin to invisible ink. Words that camouflage the significance, the secret significance of other words, as
okay.
is the case with the Shroud codes that I discovered in 2012, between 2012 and 2016. However, there are two different kinds of Shroud codes I discovered in the Bible, the first one being in the code of ELS, equidistant letter skip sequence codes, or ELS. Now, I found a couple of codes in 2000 that pertain to Jesus and the Shroud in the book.
Well, hold 1 second. We're about to go to a break in about a minute and a half. Before we get too deep into that, I want to launch into that when we come back. The whole idea of the Shroud of Turin being mentioned throughout that part of the Bible. When we're looking at this, what do you believe is the purpose of putting a code in that we can only prove after these events occur? Are we finding in the codes, now that we're understanding how they're placed, where they're at in the book, what they mean, are we finding prophetic codes that exactly. We can see are actually happening and unfolding as it shows?
Yes, the amazing okay. part about it. These are prophecies. These are hidden uh-huh. prophecies, cryptic prophecies.
Right, but we only seem to find them after the fact.
Well, not always. Not always. I found some codes about 9/11 before it actually happened. And the reason I went searching for codes about 9/11 was because of what happened to me personally beginning in 2001. I worked for a state agency across the street from the Twin Towers. I worked on Park Place by Church Street. Twin Towers was on Church Street. About no more than one block away from my office. And if we backtrack 1 year before that, when the new millennium dawned in Manhattan, how did the city of New York welcome the new millennium? I'll tell you how they welcomed it. By bringing back the golden calf idol from the book of Exodus, chapter 32. I call it the golden calf syndrome or the golden calf curse. And either way, it helped usher in 9/11 and God's judgment on New York City for their massive display of false idolatry that the city officials allowed to take place in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Staten Island, Brooklyn, Queens, and the Bronx. But primarily in Manhattan, where they displayed over 125 life-size calf and cow idols. These were statues that were commissioned by an organization called the Cow Parade Incorporated. Now, this entity or this corporation came into being, I think, in the mid-1990s in anticipation of the new millennium. With the idea that they were going to spearhead a cultural and artistic effort to spread the golden calf syndrome across the United States and in other parts of the world. Now, I think one of the things that inspired them was the Wall Street Bronze Bull. The Wall Street Bronze Bull is also called the Charging Bull, and that was first erected in New York City at the foot of the Broadway by the Staten Island Ferry or near Battery Park in 1989 by an Italian sculptor. And the guy just, according from what I heard, he spent over $300,000 building this massive bull statue out of bronze. And then he just dropped it off without anybody knowing about it in a location at the foot of Broadway, and the city first seized it and warehoused it, and they didn't know what to do with it. And then a lot of people said, well, you know, this is going to inspire people to invest in the stock market. It'll be a symbol of Wall Street. It'll be a tourist attraction. We should have it displayed. Put it back where it was displayed. It was displayed on a kind of like a center divide, but it was a wide center divide at the foot of Broadway. And
let's see where this goes. We have to take a break, JR. We'll come back. What did this bull mean, and how did it usher in this wrath of God? We'll talk more about that when we return as we look at Bible codes here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to the show. Thank you for joining me. Fascinating talk. We're talking about Bible codes right now with our guest. And let me remind you, if you've missed tonight's show, Scott Walter, our guest in the first 2 hours, or any part of J.R. Watt's talk here in the beginning of this hour, you can always catch up with us by becoming Coast Insider. All you have to do is go to coasttocoastam.com and become a Coast Insider. Sign up for a one-year subscription. It breaks down to 15 cents a day. You will be thankful you did. Once you do, you'll know why we are the best in overnight talk radio. A myriad of great topics to listen to as well. You can go back into the archives over 5 years. That'll give you a lot of different topics. Anything that you like, pick and choose and listen to all the different shows. Plus, you can hear all the shows I've done for the last 3.5 years here on Coast to Coast AM. So go become a Coast Insider. It's the gift that keeps on giving. The holidays are right here. Wouldn't it be great to give the gift of Coast to Coast? Go check it out for yourself, coasttocoastam.com. All right, we're back. J.R. Watts, our guest. And, J.R., you were talking about the Bronze Bull and the Golden Calves and some of this that you felt was opening up and ushering in this kind of Armageddon for New York and was ushering in what, you know, biblical prophecy because of that.
Well, in the first chapter of my book, Shroud Codes in the Bible, I give you a timeline of events that occurred in the United States since the display of the Wall Street Bronze Bull in 1989. In 1990, the Gulf War erupted with Iraq invading Kuwait, and then the Operation Desert Shield resulted. Then in 1993, Arab Muslims bombed the North Tower of the World Trade Center, killing 6 people. They injured thousands more. On February 1993, the Waco, Texas massacre occurred with the Branch Davidian and agents of the U.S. Bureau of Tobacco, Alcohol, and Firearms. 10 deaths resulted initially, and then the massacre resulted in the inferno that resulted when the feds went in there, when they destroyed the compound in April of 1993. And then in 1995, the Alfred P. Murrah building, the federal building in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, was destroyed by a homegrown terrorist bomb in retaliation for the Branch Davidian massacre.
And again, you know, you can see this. You can see most of these things referred to through the Bible codex and these prophecies. Yeah. But again, to what end? If you see that and you see some of the prophecies that have yet to unfurl, is there anything you've seen that you say we could expect to see in the next year? Is there any codex prophecies that you're aware of that you can say, Dave, this is something I would watch for?
Well, I think we have to be concerned for the life of President-elect Trump. I think we have to be very concerned about his life. Now, back around February of this year, 2016, I was curious. This was before Mr. Trump received any death threats. I don't think he had gotten any death threats until it became clear that he was going to be the Republican nominee. I did a Bible code search for a possible assassination attempt on Trump's life. I compiled a list of words and his name, first and last name, with a possible scenario of an assassination. And I found maybe about 7 or 8 codes in close proximity to one another. It indicated possibly a sniper fire, a rifle, telescopic scope. Could even be a suicide mission, you know, someone who doesn't care about their own life, gladly give it up if they could get to him. Now, I follow Rabbi Glazison's YouTube video channel on a daily basis. Rabbi Glazison is a Torah code expert in Israel, and he uploads videos of his Torah code findings on a daily basis that you can access and watch. And I posted some comments around February or March this year on some of his videos about my findings on Trump's safety. Mm-hmm. I think it inspired him to look into it, and indeed he did find the codes I was talking about. And then he found a few more. I mean, the guy is a top-notch cryptologist, and he's been doing it for decades.
So what does this tell us? It possibly could be a sniper, could be a suicide mission. When is it foretelling? I mean, what is the actual prophecy
watch it? Tricky part. The tricky part is when, you know? I mean, I looked for months.
Sure. So if let's say March 24th, 2017 rolls around and an assassination is made and he's driving in a pink Cadillac while drinking a milkshake, if you go plug in the words milkshake, pink Cadillac, Donald Trump, March 21st, will the code show up? If I gave you that code right now, could you go punch that in and see if those keywords would toggle and show up at all?
Yeah, I could punch it in and I could... And I could do a search if you want. I could.
Because I'm just curious. I'm just curious while looking into this, because, you know, again, the way our brains are set up is to make sense from anarchy and chaos. And if, you know, hindsight is 2020, it's so easy to look back and punch in September 2001, airplane attacks, buildings crumble, whatever, and find things that might fit the paradigm that we've created.
The thing is, Dave, is this, though. You know, I mean...
I'm not attacking you. I'm asking a question that I know a large portion of the audience will be interested in knowing is, you know, if we give specifics, did you do a pull on it at all as well to see Hillary Clinton an assassination attempt? Or did you do just Donald Trump?
No, for some reason, I focused on Trump. I just had a feeling that his life was in grave danger, and he didn't even realize it. And I think I actually emailed him on his website. I don't know if he ever got the message, but I sent several emails to his website during the campaign for the presidency, urging him that he take extra precautions and reinforce the security, because I was finding Bible codes or Torah codes about a possible assassination plot.
Did the Bible say anything specifically that he would win the presidential election?
Yes. Yeah. Now, Rabbi Glazerson did a search for key words and key phrases and terms linking Trump. He typed in Trump's first and last name. He typed in, I think, the word presidential candidate. And also, they did a search for Hillary in the same table, I believe, and Trump's name came closest to the word president. This is an indicator that the person's name who comes closest to the word president or wins election or wins presidency will, in fact, do just that, win the election. And I tell you what, since they started doing this, and I know several Bible code and Torah code researchers who have done this since the Bush-Gore campaign in 2000, they have been searching the Bible, the Torah code, to see who is likely to win the Oval Office. And they've always been right, because the Bible is always right. Now, for some people out there, they might think, you know, this is divination. It's not divination. We're not using the occult in any sense of the word to look for these clues about the future. They're encoded in the Bible. Whether or not they're interpreted correctly is another matter. Now, I have my program up now. It's called Code Finder, and I could do a search right now for possible details related to a Trump assassination. But I want to bear in mind this one thing. These things, something like this takes time. You know, it's not like pulling up to an ATM and punching a passcode in and getting money out of a chute. You have to compile a list, and you have to search. You have to actually program to use your computer as a search engine to search the text of the Bible, which is in that program, for these possible words that might be encoded in the Old Testament. And if they are, they'll
show up. Could you do that then during this show? Could you type in something kind of random, like I said, Trump assassination, pink Cadillac milkshake, and see if you can find those in close proximity to one another?
Cadillac?
Because, yeah, okay. Cadillac, milkshake, assassination, Donald Trump, president, anything, you know, that those kind of key words, okay, so that we've given specifics.
Not. All right, hold on. I'm doing the search.
And we're just doing an experiment right now, folks, because like many of you, you question, where does this information come from? If we give it a certain specific guideline to look at after the fact, can we cull from the information that's in there something that will fit what we're seeking? And if I give a precursor, a prophecy of saying, you know, suicide attempt in a Cadillac while drinking a milkshake, President Trump, will we find something that says it. And again, we're going completely on the trust value here, that if you look it up and find it, you're going to tell me or not, you know, so it's, that's well, what we're looking at as well.
One of the things you have to realize too, is that there are varying skip intervals in letters that form some of these words that might appear to be codes. Now, there's a some of these, for instance, I did a search just now using Code Finder, and I get the word, the name Trump, Donald, the word milk, the word shake came up, and that's it for this particular search. The name Trump seems to be encoded in the word trumpet. Now, any code breaker, any cryptologist will tell you that oftentimes when people are devising secret codes, they will often get a specific word that they want to encode and make it part of a longer word. So if a longer word exists with the same letters, they might use a little cunning and incorporate, like, the name Trump into the word trumpet. Okay? Now, so the name Trump itself may not appear, and sometimes it does, though. I mean, I have found instances where the word Trump did appear by itself, but sometimes it appears within the word trumpet.
Are you seeking the entire Bible or specific, the Old Testament or New Testament? Okay, the entire Old Testament.
The entire Old Testament. And, in other words, I might find this in multiple books of the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm. And what if you looked up Trump suicide and put that into this? If you found it, now let's say you found Trump and suicide very close in proximity, would you then be able to say this is, you know, this is a very good possibility that Donald Trump will commit suicide, or somebody with the name Trump will commit suicide if you don't get the full name Donald?
It's not an easy question to answer. It would be a mistake to say yes. Let's put it that way, because then it's a rush to judgment. And the last thing, if you're not...
But isn't that the problem with prophecy then, though? It's plausible deniability. We can give a lot of loopholes to the possibilities.
Yeah, it requires in-depth analyzing. It really does. Okay. I mean, rather than off-the-cuff, rush-to-judgment analysis... Mm-hmm. Things like this. I'm sure that Rabbi Glazerson, when he does his YouTube videos, I'm sure he looks at the research results that he gets on his Torah code software very carefully before he makes it public. And sometimes these results often correlate to the plain text of the Old Testament stories. There'll be some sort of relation or connection to what happened thousands of years ago to the Bible codes, the Torah codes that they're finding these days in the 21st century.
Well, let me ask real quickly, my producer Juan, are we up against a break here? Okay, let's go to break. We'll come back and we'll continue into this with our guest, J.R. Watts, as we talk about Bible prophecy. And we'll talk about the fact that the Shroud of Turin is peppered throughout the Bible, and what does that tell us about its existence? We'll do that when we return to Coast AM. J.R. Watts, my guest this hour and next hour, and we'll open up the phone calls at the end of next hour if you'd like to share your insights, questions, and thoughts with our guest. We'd certainly involve you in that part of the show. We're talking about Bible code, the possibilities and probabilities that the code that we're actually getting is helpful. Now, when you're seeing this and you're seeing prophecies, And maybe you could tell me what the rabbi feels on this as well, if you've spoken or kind of get a feel for his messages. What good is it to have these prophecies in the Bible if we're not able to crack them and do anything about them?
Good question. It's a very good question. I don't know.
Is it just to show, hey, look at how intelligent we were, we knew this was coming? I would think that if you crack the code and you try to interrupt it, that would in effect mess up the code itself, wouldn't it? It's like the theory of time travel and killing your own grandfather.
I see what you're saying, and it's very interesting to ponder. That is the eternal question, and that's a question I've heard quite often, and I've heard different answers from different people. And sometimes the answers conflict with one another, but sometimes both answers make sense. Now, you could say, is it written in stone, or is there a possibility that destiny could be altered if the right people are alerted just in time to avoid these calamities? But what's required often, and we should realize this, repentance. And this is one of the things that Rabbi Glazison states over and over again. For us to avoid these calamities, even if they appear to be encoded, the primary thing is repentance before the throne of God in prayer and to change things about our lives. And without it, then the likelihood, the possibility increases that these prophecies will indeed occur. I'll give you an example in the book of Jonah in the Old Testament. Jonah was given a series of visions and premonitions from God, by God, about the coastal seaport of Nineveh, that he would destroy them for the way they led their lives. And but he said to Jonah, you know, these people don't know their right elbow from their left elbow, or their right hand from their left hand. I want you to warn them to repent. And if they do, I'll take away my judgment, and I won't destroy them. And Jonah was like me initially. He refused. And this is a story I touch briefly upon in my book in Chapter 1, the Twin Tower prophecies, the visions and premonitions I experienced for 10 months before 9/11, about 9/11.
All right, we have about 2 minutes left, just a fair warning.
Okay. Jonah refused initially. And the Bible tells us that he got on a boat to get away from that coastal seaport, and that the boat was caught in a severe storm just in its vicinity, but just beyond the boat, the weather was calm, and that the sailors on the boat threw Jonah overboard in the water, and he was swallowed by a fish, presumably a whale. For 3 days, he was in the stomach of this fish, and then he was vomited out on the beach, probably in full view of eyewitnesses who saw this. Imagine seeing a man being vomited out of a whale's mouth. And he told them the story. God said, if you don't repent and change your ways, he's going to destroy you all. Look what happened to me. I was caught in that fish for 3 days. And they repented. And a judgment was avoided. It would take me a lot longer to explain my Twin Tower prophecies that I went through.
Well, we can do that when we come back. We've got another hour after the top of the show here. So if you've got, you want to talk about the Twin Tower prophecies and then talk about the Shroud of Turin prophecies, we certainly want to cover all of that aspect when we return. J.R. Watts, our guest this evening, as we continue into the next hour, continuing to talk about Bible prophecies, cracking the codes. What does it mean? What was found when he looked into the Twin Towers code? And we will get to the Shroud of Turin, I promise, and try to make time for your calls as well as the show progresses this evening. And again, if you've missed any part of tonight's show, I encourage you to go check out coasttocoastam.com, where you can become a Coast Insider. And your membership for the year breaks down only 15 cents a day. 15 cents a day, and you get all that great content, access to stories, George Norrie, the other hosts of Coast to Coast, and some of the most fascinating guests in the world. So go check it out for yourself and get yourself a subscription right now. It's a perfect time to do that with the holidays right around the corner. Get it for yourself and treat your family to a subscription to the best in overnight talk radio. I'm Dave Schrader in for George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM.